I'm going to begin today is in John chapter 8.
Love you, kids.
This week, this celebration of Halloween really captured my heart. And I had planned on, if I had the opportunity Wednesday night with the youth, I had planned on preaching this message to the youth, and then we didn't realize or forgot that this was homecoming for Quitman. And so Wednesday night was a huge bonfire that the whole community shows up at, and so all the kids were at the bonfire, so we weren't able to have our regular youth service. And then this Wednesday we're going to be helping passing out the candy at the trunk or treat. And the Lord said, it's okay. All the preparations you did, I want you to go ahead and to use them and talk about light and darkness Sunday morning, because it's our job as light to expose darkness. Boy, that was weak. Thank you, front row. Amen. It's our job as light to expose darkness. Now, see, that's why those preachers, when I go to the inmates and I tell them something like, oh, yeah, come on now, preach that. I mean, if you've ever been in a really charismatic black church, that's what it's like being in prison. Because that's exactly what it's like being in prison when you preach in prison. So they encourage me, and the more they encourage me, the more. No, it's not that. We're light. Everyone say, I'm light. Now look at what Jesus said. Father, we thank you this morning, these words of life. Lord, I don't want them to be my words. I want them to be yours today. So thank you for just releasing me to be able to speak your words of life and light in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus spoke these things to them saying, I am the light of the world. How many of you know the Bible says in the book of Revelation, there's no need for a light source in heaven. There's no need for a light source in heaven, because Jesus is going to be that light that's going to illuminate. His glory illuminates all of heaven. Think about it. Now that's light. It's Jesus' glory that illuminates all of heaven. Jesus says, I'm the light of this world, and he who follows me. And if you don't mind, marking in your Bible, I want you to underline that word follows me. Follows. Because again, it's not a prayer. I love when I love the fact that they came to Mike and said, I want to pray a prayer of dedication. I want to give my life to Jesus. But it's not the prayer. The prayer is the beginning. But the call is to follow. The call is to walk after, that your life is changed. And from that moment forward, we no longer walk the same, but rather we walk and act after Jesus. After his ways. He who follows me will not walk in any darkness, but shall have the light, and the light is life. Thank God for the life of God that we have because of his light that's shown in our darkness. And some people, and here's the thing today, and I know we just need to be reminded of it, we need to be taught of it, but as believers who are in the light, our fellowship with darkness should be rather limited, except to go into the darkness and to expose it so that their lives can be changed and they can be called out of darkness and walk in the light of life. That's our whole mission, church. That's what we've got to be about. We've got to be about taking our light. And again, our light shines is that our batteries are charged. There's nothing more disappointing than to walk into a drawer in your room looking for a light, and you pull out the flashlight and you go click, 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 and you shake it and you hit it and you beat on it, click, click, and nothing happens because the batteries are dead. It's not charged. It can't give off any light. It's good for nothing. Yeah, we're going to hear the words of Jesus later on in our message this morning, that you're the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Paul's writing to the church and he says this, "For the night is far gone. Church, the day is at hand. The day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness." Now notice this, "and put on the armor." Put on the armor. Have you ever noticed that before? That part of the armor we're to put on is the armor of light? Why? Because darkness cannot stand even the smallest little flicker of light. It has to flee. And so as believers, we are to cast off, get rid of anything that has any association to do with darkness, and rather put on the armor of light. And it's shiny, and that armor is able to reflect the glory of God. Amen? Because the light's not generating from us. We're the reflection of the glory of God. We're the reflection. And so casting off darkness and putting on light is what we're called to do. Ephesians chapter 5, here's how he writes it to how he puts it. And again, I would encourage you, there are so many good websites for doing this, but BibleGateway.com, you can put in a phrase. You can put in light, dark, and it will show you every passage in the Bible that has those two words. And I would encourage, this is one of those ones where when you hit light and dark or light and darkness, I mean, they come up page after page after page, and there's 25 to a page. Because the Bible has so much to say about the differentiation between darkness and light. And we read here in Ephesians chapter 5, "For you were once darkness." Everyone say, "I was once darkness." That's how I was before I came to the Lord. I was walking in total darkness. My eyes were blinded, Scripture says. The eyes and your mind were blinded to the truth. But now you are light in the Lord. So what do we need to do with the light? We need to walk as children of the light. The problem today is you can't tell the difference who are the children of the light and who are children of the darkness. Everyone wants to blend in. I don't want to make a scene.
We got to be politically correct, James.
Politically correct? Where did that come from, church? If we're living the Bible and we're acting as children of the light, it's going to reflect. It's going to reflect in our conversations. It's going to reflect in the way in our attitudes. It's going to reflect in the way that when someone mistreats you, you're not going to respond the same as a person who's a child of darkness. Amen? We're not going to respond the same. When someone's rude to us or crude or says something inappropriate or, Lord forbid, cuts us off in traffic and doesn't put on their blinker and turns right, we're not going to respond the same. We're going to honk in love. I don't know if that's right, but how do we act? What does it look like to walk as children of the light? What does it really look like, church? Does it look differently than what's going on out there, outside in the community? Does it look different, guys, in your classroom? How should you look different in your classroom than all the other kids that are in your classroom? Because you're children of the light. Should people be able to notice? My prayer is, I hope so. I hope so. I hope they can notice that there's something different about us. Why? Because we've been called out of darkness. Let me skip a scripture there for you. But would you put up 1 Peter 2:9? 1 Peter 2:9, would you put that scripture up for me? And I want you to see this. And I was thinking about this for the last couple of weeks when I was thinking about the pure in heart. All of a sudden, this word jumped out at me. And again, I had to go back to remind myself, not only have we been saved, but we've been sanctified. Again, we don't use that word sanctified very much in our language, in our conversation, do we? But Scripture says that we have been sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart. Not just washed, not just cleansed, but we've been set apart. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's, the King James says, peculiar people, special people who have been what? Called out of darkness and set apart so that we're not participating in the darkness. We're not participating in the things that the world does that they now say is the new norm. We're a chosen generation, a holy nation. We're pure in heart. Praise God. And because we're pure in heart, that's going to separate us from everyone else. It's going to separate. It's just going to make a difference in that our lives are going to stick out. Because here's the current just going down, and everybody's just riding along in the current. And here are the believers going upstream. They're not going with everybody else. When everyone else says this is acceptable and this is okay, no. We've been called out of darkness. Notice that we may do what? Proclaim the praises. To be one who is praising God in our lives. Praising God. Giving God the glory. Giving God the credit. He's called us out of darkness. Put us into His marvelous light. So why? So that we can make a difference in this world. So that we can be salt in this earth. And our light is going to take that darkness. And again, I don't understand it, but I just know that when the light of God comes into a situation, again, blessed, here's what John said last week, blessed are the peacemakers, those who bring the Prince of Peace into that situation. Amen. That's a peacemaker. They bring the Prince of Peace to whatever situation that it is. And because you're bringing righteousness to that situation, now that situation can be taken care of the right way. We're lights. Now, darkness. This is for a moment. I don't like giving him any credit at all. But there's power in the darkness. That's okay. There is power in the dark side. We saw it in this Old Testament story in 1 Samuel 28, where the Saul goes to the medium, goes to the net, to the psychic, and unbelievable. I begin to look at this business of this. Here's one lady, and again, last year, 1 in 7 Americans called a psychic or went to a psychic. 1 in 7 Americans. So this is real, the dark side that is out there. This lady blogged, "I first started seeking psychic readings in 2010. And ever since I started spending money on psychics, I can easily spent over $4,000 a year. I cannot understand why I was doing that or why I continue to seek answers. I would consult them in person, then I started going online to visit these different websites. Entering graduate school and moving into a new city." So this is no dummy. This is a highly motivated, highly educated person who's writing this. "Entering graduate school and moving to a new city all had a substantial impact on my well-being, and I felt alone, had a few friends, but nothing made me happy." duh. As believers, we could go, duh. But how many of you know we're talking, this is the heart of people who are searching, church. They are searching for acceptance. They're searching for love. They're searching for answers. Why am I here on this earth? That's what they're asking. And because they're walking in darkness, they can't see anything. They can't see the truth. It's not obvious to them that there's a God that loves them and has a great plan for their lives. And so they're seeking out the supernatural. Why? Because we're wired to seek out the supernatural. That's how God wired us, so that we would seek Him. So because they're not seeking the God that we've worshipped this morning, they're seeking somehow some type of a supernatural experience, because that is what is built into the wiring of every person. The breakup of my long-term boyfriend was just the final straw. I realize now that I felt empty, and the reassurance of a psychic telling me that everything was going to be fine and that I would find happiness is just what I needed. I can say that most of the predictions did not come true. Now listen, there are some scammers out there. And all they're there is to take your $3.95 a minute and make money, and their goal is to try to make you hear whatever you wanted to hear. But let me tell you what, there are some true mediums out there who have a connection with the dark spirits of this world. And all of a sudden, they are able to call and conjure up these dark spirits that begin to speak as if it was Uncle Joe or Aunt Sally. And because they spent time before they passed away on this earth, they know some things to say. And it's real. And you don't want to dabble in it. If Miss Hartley was in here, she could tell stories when she was in high school, and her friends began to dabble with the Ouija board. They begin to dabble in this darkness. And next thing you know, before they know it, they were levitating each other under the power of darkness. And it was real. But how many of you know, you don't want anything to do with this darkness. You don't want anything to do with this dark power, because it is real. How many of you know, we read in the New Testament, Acts chapter 19. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And I'm start reading in verse 11. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought forth from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's the power of God. Amen. Paul prayed over a handkerchief and said, in Jesus' name, now take this and put this on the sick person, and they'll be healed. And they were healed, or that the evil spirits left them. And he was also casting out demons in Jesus' name. And Scripture says that some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had demons. And here's what they said. We exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Then it lists them. Their names were the seven sons of a priest, sons of Sceva. And when they tried to do this over a man who had demons in his body, and they said, we exorcise you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. The evil spirit said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? Scripture says those evil spirits, then one guy, seven young men, and the one guy who's filled with the demon spirits jumps on them and just tears them apart, so that they run away naked and wounded. One. That's the power that there is in the dark side. How many of you know, though, we have the power of Jesus in us, amen? We'll be like Paul. We're able to say, in Jesus' name, you come out. And that has to happen. Now, let's flip over to 1 John 3:19 as we begin to close these things down. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds, and here's the proof of the pudding, their deeds are evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light. When do most crimes take place? Oh, those who practice evil hate the light. When do most of these abductions and these rapes and these things happen? In the dark? In the night? And Jesus said, listen, the problem is even though I've come to bring light to this world, men love darkness rather than light. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds will be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen and that they may be done in God. Hallelujah. But the problem is men love darkness more than they do light. Now here's what's happened. Men and people used to be ashamed of their deeds of darkness. There used to be a shame. I don't know about you, but I'm watching the World Series. I don't know what night it started. And all of a sudden, here comes this commercial on for the Android. And some of you have seen this commercial. Hopefully it grabbed you like it did me. And it's a commercial. And here's the tagline of the commercial. The very end. It's a minute-long commercial. In the middle of it, you see a gay man proposing to his future mate in the middle of this commercial with a wedding ring. Okay? Here's the tagline for the end. I'm not saying get rid of your Android phones and get an iPhone, although I've been told I need to get rid of my flip phone and get an iPhone. Here's the tagline of the commercial. Be together, not the same. Am I the only one that's seen this commercial? I've seen it on like 5 times on different, but they're showing it. Again, you're thinking, what does sexual preference have to do with which phone you use? Be together, not the same. I would encourage you, you need to look, watch this commercial once so that you can see the blatant. It's blatant. That they don't care that it's darkness. But rather, they want us as believers to think that's the new norm. It's the new norm. Come on. Get with you old fogey, old-fashioned folks. I bet you've never heard that word fogey. You old fogey. Be together, not the same. Lord, help us. Lord, well, part of this is encouraging in that, what is this? This is saying that the end of the times, we're getting nearer and nearer to when, again, we go back to the Old Testament, and God looked down at the earth and said, this is one wicked place, Noah. This is one with the darkness. They're not even embarrassed of their darkness anymore. So I'm going to do something about it. How many know the Lord's not going to allow us to keep in this darkness? He's going to do something about it. Hallelujah. And we as the church, we're going to be called up. Or we might go through some of the things that God has to do. And he starts opening some of those seals and releases them. We may end up going through some of that. All right, let's close this thing out today. Matthew chapter 5, back to the Beatitudes. Jesus has laid the foundation now for his Sermon on the Mount. He's gone through all the Beatitudes, and after Mr. Crumbs preached to you next Sunday, the following Sunday, hopefully I will. I'm telling you, you are not going to be disappointed when Kingsley comes. His Australian accent is just Irish accent, excuse me. His Irish accent is just absolutely Crumbs. Crumbs. I said that. I shouldn't have said the wrong thing. Here's Jesus. He's now laid down Because I will get to the happy are the persecuted when we get done with everything. I'll finish the Beatitudes up for us. But Jesus now that he's laid his foundation for the Beatitudes of being pure in heart and hungering and thirsting for righteousness and being a peacemaker, now he's able to tell us then, here's what is going to happen now that you have these things going on in your lives. You can be the light of the world because you are my light. Here's what Jesus is saying. You are my light in the world. You will be my light. Because a city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they put it up on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men, bless God, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. This is one of my favorite flashlights. It's called a torch. And the reason why it's called a torch is it's only got one little bulb inside of it, and it's a very little flashlight. But when I sign it, yeah, it absolutely puts out the light. And I thought, God, that's what I want to be. I want to be, because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if we had a way to black this sanctuary out, I'd black it out, because, man, I want to see ourselves today. Let me tell you what, hey, nothing wrong with this battery. It's charged and it's bright. Church, how's our light today? Is our battery charged? Are we shining it? Are we that lamp that for everyone to see that God gets glory from it? I'll tell you what, to me it seems easier for your light to shine now. Because the darkness is so thick, and because there's so much out there, it's almost easier now for our lights to shine. Because they're not afraid of their darkness and they're proud of their darkness. It's almost easier now for us as believers to come with our light and shine in the darkness. I'm thankful today. How about you? That I'm a child of God, that I'm a child of the light. Amen. Carrie, come play for us. I'm thankful today that I have opportunities to go this week and be light in the darkness. I'm going to cross some paths with some folks who are searching. Man, they're so empty. They're so desperate for the supernatural. And they're willing to go wherever they need to go to find it. They're hungering and thirsting. They just don't know what it's for. And it's not a Ritz cracker. They're hungering and thirsting for that emptiness inside that can only be filled with the love of God. That can only be filled with forgiveness. And isn't that the first step to becoming a child of light? As we come and we ask for forgiveness, and God takes all of our darkness and everything that caused us to walk in the dark, and he takes it and he washes us clean. And he says, follow me. Follow me. And that's where we're at today. Stand with me this morning. We sang the song, light of the world, you step down from darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that faith's heart adores you, hope of a life spent with you. Cause here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Cause here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God.
You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful too. Here I am to worship.
Who has called you out of darkness to show forth his praises. Hallelujah. God, this week, it's our desire to show forth light in the darkness. God, it's our desire this week to go forth, Lord, into the community, into our schools, into the classrooms. Shine the light. It's the light of life, church. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the life that we have overflowing. And Father, we pray against the works of darkness. Would you just pray with me for a moment? Because this is an evil week. There'll be, even in Wood County, there's going to be sacrifices, animal sacrifices made on this and worship on this Halloween. It is wicked. Father, we pray against the darkness in our county. We pray against, Lord, those spirits that would try to come and grab and captivate our children and teenagers. And Father, we speak in the name of Jesus. Come on, speak it with me. In Jesus' name, we speak against the darkness. We speak against these spirits of evil, and we push them out of Wood County. Lord, we've already done it today with our praises. We've already lifted up high the banner of Jesus Christ. But Father, now we take authority, and we stand as the people of light. And we oppose the powers of darkness in our county. We oppose the powers of darkness in our family members, oh God. In Jesus' name, we speak the light of life, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, for the harvest of God that's coming to Wood County. Amen. Thank you for the harvest of God that's coming to Wood County. As the light shines in the darkness, Father, we believe it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. If I don't want you to leave this morning. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, ask.